I'm sitting right there where he's sitting. Sitting there next to Barney Arnett. Church used to be packed. Amen. People would sit in the choir. And I'd sit over here because my grandpa, Roy Baird, he sat over there and he had the hardest fingers in the world. What do you mean? Well, as a little rambunctious kid, if I got out of line, you know, he didn't take you outside and beat you like a drum. He'd flip me in the back of the head. So I decided I needed to be part of the choir. Brother Fred Potter was preaching that night. That night I got convicted. I was lost, dying, and hell-bound apart from God. And I got saved right here. 42 years ago. So yeah, it's home. It's home. Never thought that I'd ever come back and preach the word of God here. A little over 8 years ago, I was looking back through my stuff and I came and got the opportunity to preach for you. But I'm here this morning, unworthy, hurting. I need your prayers. Seeking God's will for my own life. But you know something, church? There's a better day coming.
Amen.
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 Seeking what God had had me to do this morning and preach for you this morning. I'm not here to dazzle you with great oratory skills. Not here to show you how I've polished the art of preaching. And I'm here to uplift that precious and holy name that's above all names.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. He said, if I'd be high and lifted up, I'd draw men unto me. It's all about him, church.
Amen.
Always has been, always will be. I've thought much about, since Brother James called me and asked me to come and help one Sunday, I thought, well, what am I going to preach? Began to pray then, and I'm never real sure till I get in the pulpit, and even then I don't know. But I thought, well, it's 4th of July. Maybe I need to preach one of them good old 4th of July America messages. And church, I'll tell you today, America's in a mess.
Amen,
I don't have to tell you that. America's in trouble. And America is still one of the greatest nations in the world, amen? It is the greatest nation in the world. I've been out of this country. I've been to third world country. And I still would rather live here than there.
Amen.
With all its troubles and all its trials, America's still a great nation. Still a blessed nation. But I don't have a 4th of July message this morning in the sense of just a typical 4th of July. I want to preach this morning out of the book of Exodus. And I hope that you'll follow along with me. I just want to mind the Lord. And I want to be an encouragement to you this morning. Because the Lord has sure encouraged me through this. In my study of this. And I guess you could say that this could go along with 4th of July, because with all the troubles in America today, with all that's going on, Jesus is still on the throne.
Amen.
There's still a possibility that America can turn back to God.
Amen.
Because the Lord, He's a way maker. Amen. He's always helps and makes a way for you and I to help us in the time of need. And I thought about this, and I want to preach in Exodus chapter number 13. It's where I'll start, and then you can just follow with me. I'm going to be all over the Bible for a few minutes. Exodus chapter number 13, starting in verse number 21. I want to read verse 21 and verse 22 this morning. If you'll stand and stretch your legs for just a moment. Exodus chapter number 13, verse number 21. The Bible says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." You may be seated. Father, this morning, Lord, as we come to you again with our head bowed and hearts humble, Father, I ask this morning, Lord, that you bless the reading of your word. And Father, as I stand behind this sacred desk this morning, Lord, I stand here trembling, humbled by this opportunity. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd just hide me in the cross. Father, that you'd give me the very words you'd have me to say here. Give me boldness, Lord, to say everything I need to say. And Father, give me great discernment to say nothing that would dishonor and displease you. You know every heart, you know every soul in this church here. And Father, my heart's desire, Lord, is to just uplift that precious and holy name of your Son, Jesus. Now, Father, have your way in this service. If there's one here that's lost, I pray today be the day of salvation. One discouraged, I pray for encouragement. But God, speak to all of our hearts here this day. You know our needs. And Father, we'll be careful to thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do, for it's in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. In the book of John, chapter number 14, the Bible says there in verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." You know, what we need to do today is to get back in the way. Amen? But many of us are just like Thomas when Jesus began to tell the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In the book of Exodus, as I started out reading this morning, you notice that the Bible told us about the pillar of cloud to lead them the way. The children of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt. The children of Israel had been in great bondage. And we know that Moses had came and the Lord had sent the plagues upon the Pharaoh in Egypt. And he'd let the children of Israel go. Now they're on their way out of Egypt. But they didn't know exactly where they were headed. Moses was leading them and the Lord came to them in a pillar of cloud and by fire at night to lead them in the way. I don't know about you this morning, but there's times in my life I don't know which way I'm heading. I don't know which way I'm going. But I'm glad this morning that the Lord knows. Amen? Every soul in this church today, you've got areas in your life that you need help with. And many of those areas, it seems like you can't do it on your own. And may I say this morning, that's where most of our problem is when we try to handle our lives on our own. Just like the children of Israel, as they were being led out, they were always trying to figure it out on their own instead of trusting God. Instead of trusting God to lead them through the way. Today we're living in here in Boone, North Carolina. There's a lot of danger and a lot of problems going on. I would never have thought that there would come a day when there would be drive-by shootings on King Street. Amen, preacher. We're living in a troubled time and people today are troubled and they're in danger. Spiritually and many physically this morning. See, when I thought about this, we know that Jesus, He has a way, the power to make a way for us to get to heaven. He did so through His precious Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus was speaking of the sacrifice He would make for you and I at Calvary. He's the only way that you and I can be born again. By our faith and trust in Him, in the finished work of Calvary. And throughout the years, God has delivered millions and millions of people through the power of His way. Many times you and I, we look at the situations that are before us and the situations that we're in and we see that there's no way out. We see that it seems like there's no end to it. There's no way to get out of it. But I want you to understand this morning that Jesus is the way maker.
Amen.
He is the way maker. And Jesus has already made a way for you this morning. Some of you sitting here this morning, you may feel like your life is in danger in some manner, shape, or form. Just like the children of Israel, they always felt like they were in danger. See, Pharaoh, when after our text here, you go over into chapter 14. Pharaoh is pursuing the children of Israel. The Lord didn't choose the easiest route out of Egypt. Amen? You can follow along, you can go home and read it in a little while, but you'll find out that the Lord didn't choose the easiest route like we would choose. But He chose going through the wilderness. But on the way there, Pharaoh and his army, 600 chariots, is after the children of Israel. They're marching. The Lord's leading that pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. And they came up to the sea, the Red Sea. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a big swimmer, amen? Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I take showers, not baths. There's a reason for that. Amen. I don't want to have to take my floaty to the bathtub. The children of Israel is fleeing danger and bondage from Egypt and Pharaoh and his army. And now they find themselves at the edge of the Red Sea. Put yourself in their shoes. What's before you can kill you. What's coming behind you is desiring to kill you. The children of Israel are boxed in. They're in danger. But I like what the Bible says. The Bible said the Lord, in verse 14 of chapter 14, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. The children of Israel could only see the problem in front of them, the problem behind them, instead of looking at the problem solver. The very God that brought them out of Egypt and was leading them in the way God knew what He was doing. God knew what He was doing. But what did He do? He told Moses in verse 16, He said, lift up thy rod. Lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. Boy, I like that. It may not do as much for you as it did for me. But what do you mean, preacher? God split the problem.
Amen.
Amen. He's still got a problem behind him, but God had a plan. Why? What do you mean, preacher? God knew that they were going to continue to pursue the children of Israel into the first problem, and He's going to take the first problem and get rid of the second problem.
Amen.
Think about it, church. I'm trying to help you this morning.
Amen.
See, the first problem was just an obstacle. It was actually a tool God was going to use to take care of the problem behind.
What did the children of Israel do? They followed Moses. They walked across on dry ground. Amen. They went out the other side. We know the story. The sea collapsed back in, got rid of Pharaoh and all of his army there. The problem was solved. The danger at the moment was gone. I'm glad that he's a way maker. Amen. God has always got a plan. And you and I are just walking through this world. We're walking in the way that He's leading us. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have trials. They're coming. I noticed over in Mark chapter number 4. This is where many people find themselves today. In Mark chapter number 4, verse number 39, the Bible said, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still." The disciples and Jesus had gotten into a ship. They were crossing across. The Bible said that the wind began to bellow, amen, a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Seasoned fishermen were now shaking in their shoes inside a boat. Jesus is asleep in the back of the ship, in the hinder part of the ship. And all the disciples could see was the storm. All they could see was the wind and the waves. All they could see was the trouble and that they were going to die. And they come running to Jesus. "Lord, carest thou not that we perish?" Have you ever been there? How many of you here have ever felt like the Lord don't care? Every one of you have. You just don't shake your head yet. Every one of us have felt like God didn't hear. Like God doesn't care where I'm at right now. Though we may have got ourselves right there on our own accord, we still think God don't care. But what does Jesus do? One of the only times you ever read where Jesus is resting. He's asleep. He was human. He's as much human as he was God. He's asleep in the ship. He's tired. What does he do? Jesus is never too tired to help. Amen. He steps up. "Peace be still." Church, he's a way maker in the times of trouble, in the times of danger in our lives. The Lord is, as long as we'll stay in the way, long as we'll put our hand in his hand and put our faith and trust in him and let him handle it, he'll make a way. Amen. He'll make a way for our lives to get us through. Not only does he make a way in times of danger, not only does he speak peace to the storms of our life. How many of you here face a storm? Amen. I'm going to stand before you today. I'm not going to be more holier than now. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I'm the man of God and nothing ever bothers me. That would just be puffed up pride. That'd be lifting myself up to a position that I'm not in. I'm just human. I'm just an old country boy saved by the grace of God that God called to preach. I didn't want it. Run from it for 3 years. My life was going pretty good before he called me to preach. I'll preach this side a little while. Everybody over there looking at me like I'm crazy. I didn't aspire to be no preacher. I didn't know what trouble would be. I didn't know the hurt. It ain't just churches that hurt anymore. It's preachers. Amen. You watch your family struggle. You watch your children struggle. In storms, it seems like every day is a new storm. You carry the burdens of your church and you carry your own burdens. You carry your family's burdens. But boy, I'm glad God ain't never let me down. Amen. I'm glad God has always spoke peace into my heart. He's always seen a way to give me a new sunrise every morning. Glory, I feel good.
Amen.
Why is that? Because it's the peace that passeth all understanding. That he speaks to my heart. If I stay focused on the storm, if I stay focused on Dwayne, if I stay focused on all those things, Dwayne will drown in the storm just like Peter could have. But brother, when you look at that one Jesus and you look upon him in his glorious face and you say, Lord, here I am, take it. He's never let me down. He's never let me down. He'll speak peace to your storm. He'll make a way.
Amen.
Secondly, Jesus, he made a way out of jail. What do you mean, preacher? I think about Joseph. Back over in Genesis chapter 39. Joseph is a beautiful type of Christ. But he's also a picture of what it is to truly have a life of trouble. And what it is to stay faithful to God. Joseph finds himself in trouble with family. His family, they despised him according to the Bible. They hated him. Read it. They hated their little brother. Why? Because his father loved him more than the others. And he was a dreamer. And they desired to kill him. He finds himself in a pit. They throw him in a pit. And he goes from a pit to a palace.
Amen.
Find himself in a palace. The Lord's with him all the time. Potiphar makes him ruler over his house. He sees that the Lord's with him in his life, that the Lord's blessing him, even though he's a servant, even though he's a slave. He still keeps following God. But while he's in Potiphar's house, even though the Lord's blessing in a time of trouble, Potiphar's wife sets her eyes and her affection upon him. Can I tell you this morning, church, that the devil has got your number? Amen. The devil's not after the lost. Get that out of your mind this morning. He's not after the lost. He's already got them. But once you've got saved by the grace of God, you got a bullseye on your back. And the devil desires to tear you down and defeat you anyway. He couldn't destroy Joseph in the pit. He couldn't break him on the slave in the slave market. He's going to try him now in Potiphar's house. She kept saying, Joseph, lie with me. Lie with me. What did the Bible say, Joseph? He took off to run and she grabbed him by the coat and he just wiggled his way on out of that coat, amen. He said, looky here, I'm gone. And he left his coat behind. But what happened? She accused him, falsely accused him, trying to rape her.
Amen.
Can I tell you this morning, there's a lot of times in your life that you'll find yourself in trouble, trouble that you didn't bring on yourself. The devil's trying to get you down. You'll be falsely accused. You'll hear all kinds of things. And if you focus on that, amen, it will destroy you. Joseph finds himself in prison. Convicted of a crime he never committed. But you read the end of the story. God used Joseph to save the nation of Israel. He never lost sight, never lost faith in God. God made a way for Joseph through all of his life. From one trouble, one trial to another, God made a way. God will make a way for you this morning if you'll let him. What about Paul and Silas in the book of Acts? Book of Acts, chapter number 16. Paul and Silas, they've just been preaching Jesus.
Amen.
Casting out the devils. There's a lot of people need the devil cast out of them today, amen?
Amen.
They've just been doing the work of God. Now they find themselves in prison. And you know, this is a hard thing for you and I to do, but the Bible said in Acts chapter 16, verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Where were they at when they prayed and they praised God?
Praised God from prison.
Praised God from prison. In the midst of their trial, in the midst of their storm, in the midst of their bondage, they lifted up their voice and they prayed to God. And there's no doubt that Paul said, God, thank you. You all know I'm right. Paul didn't pray like we pray. God, get me out of here. God, I don't deserve this. You know how we pray. We always pray in our favor, right? You all know I'm running royal right here, Brother Tim. He just, Lord, thank you. I got some friends that's been in prison. Several that I've led to the Lord, and they've given me their experience. I got one that went to federal pen, and he said the only good thing he could say, he said he's had three hots and a cop. I reckon that meant he had a bed and three hot meals, amen, and TV. At least he saw something positive out of it. He didn't focus. Paul didn't focus on himself. Silas, he and Silas didn't. They joined together. God, thank you. Thank you for this prison experience in my life. And they began to sing. I'm not much of a singer, but how can you imagine? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Can you imagine that as the other prisoners? What is that? And the Bible said that an earthquake came. The prison began to shake. I'm going to tell you something, church. When you get to praying, you get to praising God, heaven will move hell for you. He'll shake the gates of hell for you.
Amen.
And that prison began to shake, and the chains fell off the doors, and the doors flung open, and Paul and Silas could be free. But the Bible said that the guard came running out in his sleep, trying to wake up, wiped his eyes, and he saw that the doors was open and drew his sword to kill himself. And old Paul, with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, we're all here. I still think that's called up a singing Amazing Grace. Amen. I think that God, in a period of time, they's worshiping God and they's putting God first. If they forgot about the prison they was in, amen. And when it shook, the doors flew open. They said, look, boys, we can get a little bit of air, but let's keep on singing. And he led the a soldier to the Lord, he and his family. There's always a blessing in our prison experience. There's something to be found. The Lord will make a way out of our jail. Jesus can set us free. Some of you may be here this morning, never been saved by the grace of God. You're in the bondage of sin. May I say this morning, he'll break that bondage if you'll come to him this morning. Through old-fashioned conviction and repentance. He'll save you and set you free. I got saved here 42 years ago. And I stand before you this morning. And I can honestly tell you, I have not always lived for Christ since then. I've been as wicked, Brother Dale, as I could be. How can a saved man do that? It's called backsliding. I still believe that man can backslide, amen?
Amen.
I've been wicked, but you know something? I've lost friends, I've lost relationships, I've lost this, but I've never lost my salvation.
Amen.
My wife, I could have lost her. She could have left me many times when I got to drinking and doping. But she just kept on praying. She kept on praising in her prison. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you something this morning, church, something that'll help you. Don't give up.
Amen.
Now, she may probably wish she hadn't prayed so much because look where we're at this morning. Amen.
Amen.
I remember the night I asked my wife. I was laying in bed. I'd been running from preaching. I didn't want nothing to do with it. These preachers that wants to be a preacher, I don't understand that. But that's neither here nor there. And I went, honey, we need to talk. And how she knew, I do not know. And all I heard, I'm not going to be a preacher's wife. That's the only word she spoke that night. I said, okay. Rolled over and went to sleep. Brother Dale, I can still remember for 3 years, two or three nights a week, I'd wake up preaching in my sleep. And they say if you've ever been called to preach, truly God called, you can't help but preach.
Amen.
Amen. And then when I surrendered to preach that night, I believe God had to kill me before I got home. And I said, Lord, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to take my first step. Amen. I went to take that first step, and she put her hand in my hand, and she went with me. God made a way.
Amen.
Church, you make a way for you this morning from danger and out of jail. Can I give you two more points and I'm done? Jesus made a way out of death. I think about Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3, you know the story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bow down. Stoke the fire 7 times hotter. What we need some people today that won't bow down.
Amen.
We need some preachers and we need some people. We need some God's people that get a backbone like a solo and stand and stand. Even though you're facing a fiery furnace, stand.
Amen.
But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't bow down. They threw them into the furnace. What happened? Somebody help me. What happened? They walked in the fire.
With a helper.
Lo, I see a fourth. Lo, I see a fourth man. Like the Son of God. Even in the fires of life, the Lord will walk with you. When they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. There's hope this morning, church. There's hope for every soul in this church, regardless of what you're going through. Family, financial, worldly, I don't care what it is, business, what it, church, we can make it through.
Amen.
We've just got to put our hand in the fourth man's hand.
Amen.
I think about Daniel and the lion's den. They made a decree trying to get rid of Daniel. Don't you pray no more. Don't you pray no more. When he knew, the Bible said that when Daniel knew he signed a decree, what did he do? He went back to his prayer closet. With the windows wide open, he didn't pray in silence. He didn't hide. He just looked out the window and he went to praying to God in whom he'd always prayed. He kept on doing what he knew to do. He knew where his help come from. He knew that everything would be all right. He knew that God was a way maker.
Amen.
Daniel found himself in the lion's den. Old King, boy, he had a restless night, didn't he? No sleep whatsoever. He knew what he did was wrong. Why is that? Because Daniel, when you're living for God and you're doing right, people around you are going to see it. I believe it was conviction that got the old king. Daniel, Daniel! When they opened up that lion's den. Can you see that? Old Daniel wiping that old big lion's mane out of his face. Yes, sir? What you need? I'm just talking country, amen. I'm talking Bethel and Meat Camp. I moved to Meat Camp, so it's rubbed off a little. I ain't really sure what dialect I am right now. I'm just lucky to be here. Boy, don't you know what? Old King was relieved. God had shut the lion's mouth. And I believe Daniel just curled up with him and had a good night's sleep. Hey, kitty, kitty, kitty. If we could ever learn to get them to say, I'm talking about the same God of Daniel, the same God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same God of Paul and Silas, the same God of Joseph is the same God we serve today, church. What he did for them, he'll still do for us. But the trouble is, we won't let him.
Amen.
We got to handle it on our own. Instead of just turning it over to God. I see nowhere in the Bible where any of these men went crying, whining, or complaining. They just faced it knowing God had made a way. God had made a way to make it through. I'll give you one more and I'm done. And this is where I believe we all need to hear this morning. Jesus made a way in a hopeless situation. What do you mean, preacher? Think about Noah and his family. God had come to Noah and told him that he's going to send the rain. You need to get to preparing the ark. Now, get the picture. I'm not trying to bring you anything new. I'm not trying to dazzle you with theological stuff. But Noah ain't never been on no boat.
Amen.
Noah ain't never been to Bass Pro and looked at one.
Amen.
Noah didn't even know what a boat was. An ark. To the point that God gave him directions. Measurements, exact measurements, the type of wood of how to build the ark. They ain't seen rain.
Amen.
Imagine this. You ain't seen no rain, and now you got to build a boat because rain's coming. I don't know that Noah looked at God the way most people look at preachers today. But you can tell people God's coming and are you sure? I've heard that all my life, preacher. Lord, we're living in the last days. How many of you have heard we've been living in the last days? How long you been hearing that? I heard that sitting right there on that pew as a 10-year-old boy. And I heard a few times sitting right here from Brother Carl Wilson. Amen. When my grandpa wouldn't let me go sit with Barney because me and Barney sometimes didn't jive. And you can't fight right here in front of everybody. People today, truly, I don't believe that. Can I borrow this? That we truly don't believe that all 774,746 words of this King James Bible are true.
Amen.
That the same God we serve this morning is the same God that's in these pages. This is God's Word.
Amen.
This is God's holy, inspired Word. Forever settled in heaven. And what God said He would do, He will do.
Amen.
But we don't believe it. But what did Noah do? Noah went to building, didn't he? Rains are coming. I mean, he just kept hammering. Rains are coming. Destruction's coming. People walk by making fun, laughing at him. That old man's crazy. Trouble is today we worry so much about what people think about us, we can't truly serve God.
Amen.
We're not like Noah. Noah just kept on building. For how long? 120 years? 120 years, thinking, is that right, Brother Tim? 110, 120? Close enough, amen, a long time. So much so that when the rain came, Noah got him and his family. We know the animals. We know the story. And God shut the door. Noah and eight souls were saved. Those eight souls were his own family. Nobody else believed him, but he kept being faithful. In a hopeless situation, Noah never gave up on God. For that period of time as he built the ark, every day he'd get up and look, no rain, ark ain't done. But he kept being faithful. Church, things may look hopeless for us right now. Trust me, God's a way maker.
Amen.
Amen. How do you know? Because Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As you said this morning, your children's apple of your eye. And God's children are the apple of his eye. We have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Church, he sees your hurt. He sees your heartache. He sees what you need this morning. What you need to do is just let him make a way.
Amen.
Give it to him. Give it to him. And let him take that load. Let him take that burden. Let him take that heartache. And you walk out of this church today renewed in the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what we need today. More people that's experiencing the joy of the Lord in their lives instead of the heartbreak and the hopelessness. God's still on the throne this morning, church.
Amen.
When you and I were lost and undone, we were doomed, hell-bound, and apart from God. And Jesus made a way. I praise the Lord this morning. There's nothing good in me. There's no way. I mean, I got no money. I couldn't buy my way to heaven. I'm not a man of any stature in the community, so popularity wouldn't get me to heaven, but I'm glad God seen me in my need. And over 2,000 years ago, he sent his darling son, Jesus, who hung and bled there on that old cross at Calvary, and he cried out, "It's finished!" Amen.
Amen.
No, I'm glad it didn't end there, ain't you?
Amen.
He's buried in that borrowed tomb, and on that third and glorious morning, he arose from that grave. He's alive forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
He made a way for you and I. So in closing, Jesus has made a way for us in all of the situations of our lives. Physical, spiritual, for the church. He's the way maker. He's the way maker. If you'll stand this morning, I'll ask sisters if they'll come to the play, get us a song of invitation here. They said for me to close as I see fit. I want you to bow your head for just a moment. Close your eyes. Nobody looking around.